Thank you, Brother Mark. I bring the love of the North Seattle Bible students. And I also want to say that I'm humbled and thankful for the lessons we've had and the opportunity to serve. Well, Luke 28, and we've added a little something up for this, the processes of our time, because that we'll see is what this is about. First, we'll read Luke 21, 25 to 27. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The pastor comments about this, that 25 through 27 are part of the processes that lead to the very thing that we are considering today, that is Luke 21, 28. And some of the comments that he, just some of the brief comments, the pastor says, for these things, he says the revealing of the time features now is as profitable and stimulating as the revealing before would have been unprofitable and discouraging. And then the word begin. As soon as we should begin to see the events of the harvest come to pass, we should expect a speedy realization of our glorious hope and look up with a comfort and serenity of soul it gives to have the knowledge which the Bible affords in respect to the present times and the grand outcome of the trouble. If the worst should happen, we should remember that God is at the helm. And lift up your heads, those who discern in the shaking, the outworking of the divine plan. Rejoice in the assurance that this terrible shaking will be the last that the earth will ever have or need. For as the Apostle Paul assures us, it signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. And draweth nigh, the Lord did not say how high. So we must live day by day just as though this was the last day on this side of the veil. So Luke 21, 28. I'm going to adjust the little thing here. Isaiah 52, 78. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. And Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 to 13. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But thou go thy way till the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Speaking of those who, when the Lord arrives on the scene, rejoice in the meet and due season presented to them through that wise and faithful servant, and who, as the years go by, demonstrate their love and loyalty to their God and his son by holding fast to the meal set for them. To these to obey is better than sacrifice. For these are honest and humble of heart, respecting the arrangements that the Lord provides. These would rather stand alone with God than to enjoy the acceptance, friendship, and respect of those around them, whether in the world or family or those claiming to be brethren. When they find fellowship with those of like faith, they rejoice and special bonds are built upon faith's foundations. The meet in due season that brings the recognition that our Lord has returned, has resurrected his saints, and is fully in charge of the transition from the present evil world to God's kingdom on earth under the direction of the great mediator. We have been given the Jubilee calculations that point to 1874 as the beginning of the times of restitution and refreshing and the arrival of our returned Lord. We have been given chronology that points to 1872 as 6,000 years from Adam's creation, and thus explaining the length of time in the Garden of Eden as being 2 years. We have been given an incredible anchor for 1878 by the witness of three faithful prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Zechariah, each referring to Israel's double, each adding additional information and context. Why did the Lord stress this time prophecy by three witnesses? To make sure it wasn't missed, and to stress its importance. These three witnesses anchor the time and importance of the doubles and the parallels related to the 70 weeks prophecy found in Daniel 9, so that the dates of 29 AD, 33 AD, 36 AD are firmly connected in parallel to 1874, 1878, and 1881. Oh, the blessedness. And we point to Ezekiel chapter 33, 1 to 3. I think we all know that this is the watchman. And he's there to protect on the coast. And if he doesn't watch and he doesn't alert individuals, the blood is on him. But if he does his job and others don't take heed, then it's on them. And the point, this is a warning. We must be watchers. Processes of our time. We are almost 146 years from 1874. What does this mean to us? What should we be watching for? In Matthew 25, in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, it was the midnight cry that announced the arrival of the bridegroom, our returned Lord. If we divide a 100,000 day by 24, we get 41.67 years per hour. If we divide this into 146 years, we get three point five hours, or 3:30 a.m. in our terms. What does this tell us? In a vacuum, not much, except that we should not be anxious in terms of doubt about, but instead our anticipation should be growing. Our returned Lord, the apostles and the prophets, gave us many signs that represent signposts and distant markers until the day of the Lord for us to observe and enjoy, and thereby have our faith strengthened. Two of those signs and or descriptions of how the day would progress were given to us in our Lord's great prophecy. For the sunrise cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles will get be gathered together. So just as the sunrise progresses, we should see progress as described by the scriptures given to us through the carcass of truth, that we as eagles search for and are gathered to. The framework for understanding all these signs, types, pictures, etc., was given to us by our returned Lord through that wise and faithful servant, the seventh angel, the man in white linen with the inkhorn. Again, our Father, our great God, has given multiple witnesses that refer to this particular individual, including our Lord in his own great prophecy and his revelation. Why? So that we would clearly understand the Lord's arrangements in dispensing meat in due season, so that there would be no doubt when it became understood that there are obligations or requirements involved with this privilege, starting with the call to come out, given to our brethren on the scene when the seventh angel sounded, and through whom it was through Aaron, under the direction of Moses, was given the voice, the meaning of the three signs found in Exodus chapter 4. Through all three of these voices, Food for Thinking Christian, Tabernacle Shadow, and Studies in the Scriptures, along with the witness effort, these three voices, our brethren on the scene, would recognize the call to come out of her before her plagues would come upon her. By this, they demonstrated their love and heart loyalty. Revelation 11, 14 to 19. The seventh angel is the third woe before the seven last plagues. The reign of Jesus Christ has begun. The entire plan of God is revealed, shown by the 24 elders worshiping. The temple of God is opened. That is the resurrection of the sleeping saints. The prominent position of the seventh angel is established by these texts. Revelation 1, 12 to 20. In verse 13, he girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Part of our Lord's glory scene. You note the description of the seven angels in Revelation 15, 6. Verse 16, his right hand hath seven stars. This shows the prominent position of seven stars. In verse 20, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Gives us the explanation of what the seven stars symbolize. 1 Corinthians 15, 40 to 45. Proof that stars represent individual spirit beings in the scriptures, and that the seven angels ultimately become divine beings. Revelation 3, 14 to 22 describes the character of the Laodicean period and the dangers to the church, indicates that our Lord will be present and prepared to feed his people, which he does through the seventh angel. And Revelation 11, 14 to 19. Note that the seventh angel is the only angel in Revelation whose message is more or less clearly stated with very few symbols. Sounded to blow or sound a trumpet. Historically, what individual gave this message and spread it far and wide? Well, that was Pastor Russell. Revelation 10, 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. The sounding of this angel will bring the complete declaration of God's plans and ultimately bring the completion of the church. Habakkuk 2, 1 to 3, write the vision and plan it. Write the vision and make it plain upon the tables. And Revelation 10, 3, there were seven thunders. That is the volumes and the tabernacle shadows. Seven thunders. Revelation 5, 1 to 8, the seven last plagues, for in them was filled up the wrath of God, because in them was finished the wrath of God in the Diakot. The plagues are symbols and processes of the great time of trouble, and this trouble will be finished by these plagues. The seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girdled around the temple. Excuse me. I got that wrong. Having their breasts girded with golden girdles. The seven angels are all in glory. And see Revelation 1:13 in proof. It is the same picture that our Lord had. We continue. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. The temple, that is the glorified church, cannot become the meeting place between man and God until the troubles, that is the plagues, are complete and the church is complete. The temple was opened in 1878 with the resurrection of the sleeping saints. Matthew 24:45-47 from the Dialogue. One of the signs of our Lord's return and presence is the appointment and activity of a ruler over all his goods, the meat in due season. So then is the faithful and student prudent servant whom his master has placed over his household to give them food in due season. Happy that servant whom his master on coming will find thus employed. Indeed, I say to you that he will appoint him over all his possessions. And so we ask this question. Which saint beside the seventh angel, who is the wise and faithful servant, has the authority to say what is meet in due season? Matthew chapter 5, verses 13-14. Strong meat is an absolute necessity for those Christians who reach full age. Matthew 24:27-28. The carcass, that is the meat, will be provided for the eagles, or more properly, the vultures to find. We already covered Habakkuk 2:1-3, but we might want to emphasize that it is an appointed time. The vision will be written down completely and plainly, all his goods. It will not tarry. Matthew 15:1-13. All heard the cry, but the foolish had a lackadaisical and compromising spirit shown by their efforts to split the oil with wise virgins. If the wise had shared with the foolish, then none of them would have had the full measure of oil, indicating a lowering of standards of truth and righteousness. We suggest that we spend time reading about how the truth was revealed to Pastor Russell. It is absolutely thrilling and faith-strengthening. With it came trials of sifting that should be very instructive to us. Reprint 38:20. Revelation chapter 10, verses 1-10. We note in verse 4, the call is made to those who are in danger of two things: partaking of Babylon's sins and receiving of her troubles or plagues. And verse 10, in 1 hour, it is not a coincidence that the powers that pastor, excuse me, coincidence that the pastor's ministry was between 40 and 42 years long. Again, if we take 1,000 and cut it up by 24, we get 41.67, the same as the pastor. Nor that the seventh angel produced seven significant works, the six volumes of study scriptures and the tabernacle shadows. No one else delivered and finished this call to come out, as indicated in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 11. In Ezekiel chapter 9, we have the six men with the slaughter weapons, and we have the brazen altar showing a justified status, and we have a cherub that indicates God's power to be exercised through the man clothed with linen. And the job that he was given is shown. And what happens is that nothing happens until he gets his work done. The six with the slaughter room wait. And verse 11, behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Six are beyond the veil, and they follow the writer. Complete destruction shown, indicating the time of trouble, day of wrath, and seven last plagues. In one sense, the six follow. In another sense, he follows. Did the pastor complete this work? Or didn't he? This clearly shows that the role of marking and separating was the pastor's role to be completed within his ministry, this side of the veil of death. That he completed his ministry and work is shown in four dramatic ways, evidenced by historical facts. One, turning over the crowns and ripe and unripe wheat coming in from the world after 1914. Corruption of the watchtower after the pastor's death. The loosing of the four winds in 1914. The first plague poured out in the communist socialist revolutions beginning in 1917. The wind and the earthquake processes or phases of the time of trouble shown by these same events. God's plans for the destruction of the old order include phases like travail upon a woman. This is likewise true of God's plans for setting up Christ's kingdom on earth. And in Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 2 to 3, there is a confirmation. He spake unto the man clothed with linen and said, go in between the wheels and under the cherub and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubs and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherub stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Note that the inkhorn is gone, and now the man clothed with linen has the power to execute judgment. That is the coals of fire with destruction upon the city. The inner court is filled with a cloud, possibly correlating with Revelation 15:8 and with the Solomon Temple picture. Now we are going to go through some process and conditions that the Lord has put into motion, calling them mega trends. This evidence may point to events in the past or present or processes that continue to grow in magnitude or towards the completion of a process, such as the smiting, grinding, and blowing away of Nebuchadnezzar's image. Times of refreshing and blowing of the seventh trump, that is the Jubilee trump. How is this mega trend being manifested? Well, we go back to Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 16. You're very familiar with this. But what has changed with this curse? Well, the beginnings of taking away the curse have been here, and they still are, and they will continue. Women's suffrage and removal of oppression of husband. Childbirth. Infant mortality has gone way down. Mothers dying in childbirth, way down. Percentage of agricultural forces has gone way down in terms of who does it. Now it's about 2.4, here in the United States, 2.5% of people are in the agricultural. The length of work of the work week in the U.S. has gone way down. Worldwide food production has increased faster than world population, and it had to be that way. While food prices have fallen 50%, and this is rough because I couldn't find up-to-date ones, but it's better now. Freedom, that is liberty. The Jubilee trump has sounded. The processes proceed. In Leviticus 25, verses 9 to 10, we have the sounding of Jubilee trump. What's interesting about this, again, it's a process. But what is actually happening? Well, there's real and fancied rites become a roar throughout the earth. Luke 21, 24, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive in all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, that process is there. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. The descriptions of blessings to come, preparations, Isaiah 42, 5 to 16. And we're not going to read all this, but there is a point of this. It talks about to open the blind eyes and bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Well, we haven't seen that yet, have we? But if we go further down in this, we'll go to verse 13, 42, 13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, war. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time hold my peace. I have been still and refrain. I will cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. So in order for this blindness to take place, this has to happen first. Now, some of the processes that surround this, the percentage of world population has gone up dramatically. Democracies have increased, although right now all of us see that this, as we're getting close to all the troubles, this could temporarily reverse. Special interests abound. This is part of the Lord's great army. Men are free to experiment all sorts of social and political programs. Legitimate rights are confused with illegitimate rights. Women's suffrage becomes the feminist movement. Worker rights and safety becomes union monopolies and inflated wages. Immoralities of all kinds abound under the guise of liberty and free speech. The Lord's great army. Joel 2, chapter 1 to 11. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. The day of darkness and of gloomness, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like. And as we know, the horses are mentioned and they go back and forth, but no one is killed. It's just a process that is being told us here. We go to verse 8. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path, and they shall fall upon the sword. They shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. And he is strong to execute the word, for the day of the Lord, great and very terrible. Who can abide? Well, we live in this part, at least the process of it, the starting of it. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And in verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. In verse 9, thou shalt break them a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice, with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed all they that put their trust in him. Isaiah chapter 17, verse 12 to 13. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas and of the rushing of nations, that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations will rush like the rushing of many waters, and God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. That is, the four winds loosed in 1914 become final whirlwind, a process that continues to this day, and it will get more severe. Psalm 46, 1 to 3. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. This is the process since 1914. We continue. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now, we have no part in this fight. Some of the elements of this army are good and some bad. We should not be involved in various rights movements. We should not endorse in any way unscriptural or scripturally undescribed rights movements. Ultimate resort, Psalm 65:7, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult, of the people. That's will be the result. Processes of our time. The increase of knowledge and transportation. Daniel chapter 12, verse 14, which I think we read already. But many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. This has brought a great expansion of worldwide wealth. Much of this has occurred because God has revealed knowledge regarding the riches of the earth, such as carbon-based fuels that have led to unprecedented productivity gains and led to a transportation explosion, which in turn led to global economy, uplifting everyone economically, except where political, social, and cultural evils have interfered. Again, processes. In Amos chapter 9:13, the plowman overtaking the reapman. The plowman will overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. The purpose of the gospel age is to complete the bride of Christ and destroy the refuge of the age during the overlapping of the ages. Hence the plowman preparing for a new age increasing while the reaper decreases. Revelation 14, the reaping of the earth and the reaping of the vine of the earth, the treading of the winepress, starting in 1914, reprint 5:6-9:7. During all this, there are blessings being dispensed. The wind, the earthquake, and the fire, 1 Kings 19. The winds of war started in 1914, closely followed by the communist and socialist revolutions, which have led to all kinds of social anarchy, that is, anarchy of thought. One definition of anarchy is the absence of commonly agreed upon principles. The pictures of the smiting of the image, the reaping of the vine of the earth with its winepress feature, Revelation 14, depict aspects of plowing the earth and getting rid of the refuge. The smiting of the image. Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 to 35. We all remember that this stone smote the image at his feet of iron and clay and break them to pieces. And the chaff of the summer threshing floor, the wind carried them away. The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the earth. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. What we want to note here is that there were 10 toes of the image, all of which were in the Europe area. This is one of those processes that started off with a bang in 1914 after the pastor died mostly. This is one of those processes that starts off with a bang, and as the process continues, the evidence of the existence of the thing being destroyed becomes less and less pronounced, thus indicating the process is close to completion. There is almost nothing left even now. Contrast this with the times of restitution. The process is getting ready for the masses. Processes of our time. The weak say they are strong. Joel chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Beat your plowshares into swords. Your pruning works into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. There are at least two manifestations of this condition. Number one, powers prior to 1914 gathering military power when they were in a weakened state. Number two, post-1914, the breakup of power and jockeying for the power by the changing elements that make up society, including special interest groups and government and political experiments that replace the rule of the kings. The melting of elements, the present evil world dissolved. This is out of 2 Peter 3:10 to 3. The elements shall melt fervent heat. The earth also shall be burned up. All these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought we to be? Where in the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved. The elements shall melt. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The leveling processes and preparations, these is what we are looking at. Nahum 1, 5 to 6, the mountains quake at him and the hills melt and the earth is burned at his presence. His fury poured out like fire. The rocks are thrown by him. At the same time this leveling process is taking place, the entire world is receiving benefits of the times of restitution. This is magnificent. And the increase of knowledge, thereby increasing worldwide wealth and improving conditions enormously, creating an infrastructure for the mediatorial new covenant phase of the kingdom. We're not there yet, but the processes are. Israel. There are a number of mega trends related to Israel. There, of course, is the regathering. Amos 9, 13 to 15. We already covered some of this. But what a beautiful picture. The mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. That's exactly what happened. I will plant them upon their land. They shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 12, I will not read it all. But this, of course, is the bones and how they come to life. And you see a process, step by step by step. And we have the mention of the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. We're not there yet, are we? But they will not be taken out. The Lord will save them from being destroyed again. The stone of stumbling and fire among wood. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. In that day I'll make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. This process has already begun. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. That is ideologies. And it goes further to talk about the hearth of fire against the wood and with a torch of fire and sheaf, and they shall devour all the people around about. The nation, and Zechariah 14 verses 2 to 3, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth in captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. This is a process that has not yet been fulfilled. Even now, without the United States' role in the UN, it would be entirely against Israel and for her enemies. And so we watch. Processes of our time. The removing of influence of sun and moon, gospel and law. Matthew 24, verses 27 to 29. In this we have the bright shining cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. What we have here is some processes that are being shown in a way. Darwin, Marx, liberalism, moral relativism, pantheism in the form of radical environmentalism, multiculturalism, all the isms that deny and or attack biblical principles and truths. As society rejects and or changes nominal churchianity, they also throw out the Bible, its influence. Hence the phenomenal growth in secularism and socialism in Europe and the U.S. And in Matthew chapter 25 to 26, we'll just read 26. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Well, it won't, and it isn't. The processes of our time. Travail upon a woman. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 6. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh among them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. And verse 6, let us watch and be sober. 2 Timothy verses 3, 1 to 7. Now this depicts our times so well. That in the last days perilous times shall come. And everything that could be bad is happening. And you see this in these seven texts. We'll not read them. I think you're probably aware of them. But in the end, it says in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, brother, I'm just checking my time here, and I might have to drop some things off here. We're going to just reference to you Reprint 4:7-8. And it is just a remarkable part of this, of the scriptures and our pastor's writings. And it starts with the apostle forewarns the church not only of the certainty of such perils and of their character, but also of their manner of approach. And a little further down, Paul was often in peril among false brethren who, concerning the faith, had made shipwreck, and who greatly withstood his words, his efforts to build up the church in the most holy faith. And he shows that from such false brethren, brethren who have erred from the truth and become teachers of false doctrine, will come the church's greatest peril in these last times. That's our times. So what do we watch for? And in order that we might recognize and beware of them, he very minutely described them through the clear significance of the warning is somewhat beclouded by a faulty translation, and it goes on and on and on. It's just amazing what it goes on from there, and I suggest that you read it if you have the time. That was reprint 4:7-8. And I'd sure like to read some more of this, but I don't think we have the time. Next, we'll go to the days of Lot. I'm sure you remember that the pastor, he didn't see the days of Lot in the way that we might see it now, because the things that were described in the days of Lot weren't happening then. Well, let's just read some things. Luke 17:28-30. Likewise also, that it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they did drink, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That is apocalypto, to take off the covering to disclose. Now, this is connected to Romans chapter 1, verses 20-32. Again, I think we're all aware of this. And it describes all the evil from verses 20-32. We'll just do verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men of men, working which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And there's much more, of course. In verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. It goes on and on and on. I know that you know that. That's our time. That's what we're seeing. It gets worse and worse. Processes of our time. Revealing hidden things. Luke chapter 12, verses 2-3. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Things used to be hidden for long periods of time. What do we say now? But no more. They are not hidden for a long time. They are revealed by many different ways. Today we have talk radio and the internet, bloggers and cable news offset and revealed bias of liberal print media, and universities have been just destroyed in the U.S. Also possibly described symbolically in the seventh plague of Revelation, where it talks about the vial in the air, poured out his vial in the air. And there came a voice out of the temple of the heaven saying, it is done. In other words, that's how it will finish. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now men are blaspheming God right now. I'm not saying that this is what is happening now. I think it's a process, though, and maybe we should think of it. Watch and pray. Isaiah chapter 29, verses 13 to 16. The wisdom of the wise perish. Now, we won't read this because we're almost out of time. But when we think about this, the wisdom of the wise perish, we can see it happening right now, right before us. They don't know what to do, where to go. There's so much evil. So many things have changed, and they can't take it and change it. It's only our Lord that's going to do it. Well, I think our time is about up, and I think we'll finish. Well, I'm going to cover Revelation 16, eight to nine and 10 to 11. And this is where it covers the scorching with fire and the gnawing of tongues. And I think it fits with just about how we are living now, is that that's what individuals do. That's what individuals, when they can't get things completed, when they don't know what to do, if they are thinking of, well, what do we do now? How do we stop this? How do we save people? They just don't have the answers, and they gnaw their own tongues. And, of course, in this case, they were part of the problem. And all of this leads us to Jacob's trouble. Alas, for that great, that day is great, so that none like it is, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it, and something we should watch for regularly. And so we will read two more things and we are done. Multiply and fill the earth. We see that in the Lord's program to accomplish a rapid population increase during the overlapping the ages in order to fill the earth. And this is happening. This is time to correspond with the other mega trends that we have already noted. In other words, a rapid population increase cannot occur, nor can 7.8 billion people, now it's more than that, be supported without the infrastructure and conditions that the Lord has provided. It's remarkable, albeit imperfectly received, because fallen man is the conduit for setting these things up. So we end with the processes of our time, Luke 21:28. When these things shall begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We are seeing dramatic process fulfillments of the very last signs given to us, the perilous times, the days of Lot, nations gathering increasing antagonism towards Israel, the sun and the moon darkened, fools as defined by Psalm 14:1, running virtually everything with corruption of all types following them. Look up, for your deliverance draweth nigh. Be steadfast in holding to and defending the meat in due season, thus demonstrating your love and loyalty to our great God and our returned Lord. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you to the kingdom. Luke 12:32. Lord bless, and I thank you for your patience with me and my speech problem that I have. Lord bless.